Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. We're continuing our weird science theme. We'll be talking about Gore Verbinski's A Cure for Wellness later in the show. But first, Kelly will review Confessional for straight-to-video Russian Roulette.
I will.
And we got everybody here. Amy?
Yes.
She's buying a Janeway mug right now.
I am buying
online on eBay.
Janeway mug on eBay.
I'm gonna outbid you so hard.
There's Andy. He's going to troll Amy on eBay. I'm Freddie. And Kelly...
We already addressed Kelly. He's a
I usually don't use eBay.
No,
I'm not saying I never do.
I very rarely do.
Speaking of, I have something I've been meaning to give to you or Colin. I have a nice power conditioner I don't use anymore.
Oh, this is good.
Oh yes. He would. He's got a mixer that he could use that for. That'd be awesome. Thank you.
We'll try to drop it on your porch sometime soon.
Thanks very much. In fact, speaking of, they just got their first track. They recorded one of their songs. They did the recording, but then they sent it off to someone you know. John Curley is actually mixing their songs for them.
Oh, that's great. If you're a fan of the Afghan Whigs at all out there, listening.
Yeah, I'm
John Curley. Great band.
Yeah, it's quite the get. It's quite the get for Colin in his first style. You know what I mean?
yeah, it's really good. He's a pro.
He is. So he just got the first one back today. So I'm very excited to hear all that. And once they have it on their Spotify, I'll share it and all that. But
what a talented family you have.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Millie whining. Our family just licks their butts and gets hot spots.
I think Millie has a hot spot.
Well, we do that too.
That's a talent. I can't reach my butt with my tongue.
Mm. Oh, you just haven't tried.
Have you really gone for it?
Maybe.
Maybe. So patreon.com/notlp. We had a great meetup on Thursday.
Yes.
Lewis Fowler, our longtime contributor and friend, was there. We've just been having so much fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah, everybody, a lot of people were there. It was good.
Yeah. And Eyes on TV, Fozzie has a new episode that I need to put out, so that'll be coming this week.
Which one is it? Is it mine? Is it mine?
No, this one is about evil.
Oh, we watched that.
We saw just the pilot so far, but yeah, that's a good show.
Evil pilot.
Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/NOTLP. Lots of Night of the Comic. We've been doing that as a video show now.
They've been doing it sleeveless.
And sleeveless.
You're into that sort of thing.
You want to see naked arms. And that's been a good time.
Are you into that?
That's the best reason to tune in. I am.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Ladies, if you're getting pent up in quarantine right now and you want to see some sexy boys.
Sorry about the ding dings there.
I wanted to go to the gun show.
Or not even just ladies. Thank you, Andy, for reminding me.
Yeah, it's Pride Month, Amy. Come on.
I know. It's fucking Pride. God damn it. I fucked up already and I'm canceled.
You're fine.
Bish, she canceled.
I'm canceled. And it's fine. I deserved it.
Yeah, I went into your old Twitter feed.
Please don't.
Very problematic. I'm going to get you trending, bitch.
Andy and I discussed this weekend that if we were ever trending on Twitter, we would immediately commit suicide.
Whether it's good or bad.
I don't need it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what did I do? Well, like, I don't care. Bye.
I feel pretty good. Like, I deleted my old Twitter where I was more active. And, you know, since I got it back, I really haven't done anything on there, but I'm pretty glad I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Twitter is my favorite of the social medias. I understand all of its problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. but
all social media has its problems. Exactly. It's not just confined to
Twitter.
I just
mean, I probably said some things that could be used
to get you fired from a Marvel movie in the future.
Exactly. It's just you start thinking about like, I said this or said that.
Well,
we
just recorded our introduction episode 98 of our show, this very show that you're listening to, that's available for patrons. And there were things we had to apologize for because 12 years ago, we were fucking ignorant.
Yeah, I was going to throw my hat in the ring for the presidency, but now that's out the window.
I wouldn't do it.
No, you can't. In fact, normally when we do those, I always kind of have like I chuckle to myself because I, in those early episodes that I was in, I didn't always say things that I super conceal, but when I come back,
insane right now.
Yeah, you're
having a little bit of internet problems. It's fine.
You start saying, you're saying, I didn't say super conta bang da bang 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 bong.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
It's probably good that didn't come through because what he just said was awful.
I'm sorry. I apologize. one of the things that is going to come up for me eventually was something I said on Twitter. Now, in my defense, I didn't understand the situation, and I'm not going to bring it up now. I'm going to be a surprise.
He's going to bing, bing, bong, 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 bong.
Did I do that again?
Yeah.
It's fine. You're fine. Who cares?
Yeah, he's going to let the people at home dig into his Twitter feed and find out what it is.
Yeah. Be looking for that. It's exciting.
It's like an Easter egg hunt. Like, what did he say?
Mm-hmm. It's out there.
Yeah. I know that there's one thing I do know I did on Twitter, which was, oh God, I'm not even going to say it. First of all, it has to do with American Idol. Which, why was I so into American Idol back then, right?
Oh, we all were.
Because there was nothing else to do back then, Amy.
Thank you.
Everybody watched it.
And I remember there was a blind contestant. And I was like, can this dude please wear sunglasses? Because I don't know how to follow his eyeballs. And I know I said it, and people called me out at the time, and I got really defensive. And I understand that, like, whatever. Don't wear sunglasses. Wear sunglasses. Who cares? You're blind. I'm not blind. Everything's fine. So, there's one thing I can get fired.
I remember that contestant and I remember his audition and Ryan Seacrest tried to give him a high five.
I remember that. Oh my God.
So at least you're not Ryan Seacrest.
At least you're not Ryan Seacrest.
That's the most we could hope for.
Seacrest out.
Oh,
remember that?
I do.
Yeah, we all remember.
I used to love American Idol.
We all remember.
I have no interest.
I used to vote on it, too.
Oh, yeah, me
too.
That's
how much I was into it.
We would call. You had to call.
It was a different era.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Do you guys like listening to your grandma and grandpa NOTLP?
We used to spend a nickel to see a movie.
On the telephone number.
We're so old.
It was a different time.
I'll probably have to apologize for this in a few years for being ageist.
For being ageist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make it an age voice.
Well, Annie and I were having a great time discussing adult diapers before we started recording.
Well, that's not ageist. Anybody can wear those.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying,
I'm wearing them now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying that, we're all going to be there one day.
Amy wanted to do the adult diaper challenge. Where she puts on a diaper and tries to defecate or pee in it and see how it goes.
That's just the 30-day
diaper challenge.
The 3-day diaper challenge.
Yeah. That's going to be on our Patreon for extra content.
And then you dump the whatever's in the diaper on someone's head for the charity.
Yeah.
This is for ALS.
And then she's like and subscribe.
Smash that like button because I can't right now. My hands are brown.
We've been rejected by a lot of charities who we've tried to
partner
with. We've tried to help out with this, but no one seems to want to be associated with it.
Yeah, yeah. We raised all of $20 and nobody wants our money.
Yeah, nobody wants it.
All of 20.
Speaking of, was between
I don't want
the
your poo money.
Speaking of donating.
It's dirty money.
There's lots of options out there in the world right now. What I have been doing for my donating right now is Act Blue, because then you can split your donation between different anti-racist charities, which made me feel like I was doing something.
Doing something.
Yeah.
You know what?
I mean, that's all I can offer right now is money.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm just so proud of everybody out there that's donating, that's marching, that's, you know, posting things even. Like, it does matter, even though, like, people think, like, social media doesn't mean anything. It does mean anything sometimes.
It normalizes the behaviors and the thoughts and the feelings.
Yeah, so, and, like, I see a lot of my friends, like, calling people out in their comments and stuff like that. And they're going to marches and they're doing things. And I'm just so proud of everybody. So, yeah, if that means anything, I'm just very... It gives me hope, let's put it that way.
There's a lot of positive things going on amidst the terrible things. So, I try to hold on to that a little bit. And speaking of all of that, I just also want all of that. You know what I mean? Speaking of sort of the move to change, you know, systemic racism and a lot of these problems, I would strongly urge everyone to go seek out Dave Chappelle's show, 8 minutes and 46 seconds on YouTube. It is super powerful. It's not funny, really. I mean, he's a funny person, so, you know, he has a couple of asides that are, but it's really powerful, and it really explains things, I think, in a very clear way, in a very emotional way. And I highly recommend it to everyone. It's only about 20 minutes long. Like I said, it's not a special. It's just him in Yellow Springs talking to a small group of people who came to see him, and it's really, really good.
I heard it was out. I haven't watched it yet, just because, gosh, I'm just so darn busy. That's not true. I don't know why I haven't watched it yet, but yeah, I think I know white people that are probably not necessarily understanding the groundswell and the anger right now that love Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
So I hope that person in particular I'm thinking of right now watches this and really, like, takes it in.
I hope so too, because for this.
You sound like you just had an absolute stroke.
Yeah.
Robot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yes.
I think it will hopefully do that for people who maybe don't get it, but love him, because again, he puts it in a very impossible not to understand unless you're trying not to understand way. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why people like him, and honestly, a lot of comedians, I think in general, are so important to help people who don't experience these things firsthand, digest them in a way they can handle.
Yeah. Agreed. And also, I don't want to, like, overstate our platform, but we do have a platform too.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are speaking out on it. And if we do reach out to people and change their minds, I think it is helping. Everybody has a platform.
Mm-hmm. I think
everybody should use it.
Yeah.
There's rot in the horror community. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
It's blowing up big time with all this stuff with CineState and then the Joe Bob stuff. And, you know, I'm not unaware of that stuff, but I think in our little world, we've always been cool with that.
And then there, but
I love a social justice warrior. Speak your piece. Tell me when I'm fucking up.
Right. Yeah. To an extent, I think that's a good thing for sure.
What's that, white cisgendered man?
And I think
to an extent, what would you like?
There is a point where it does become a kind of bullying in and of itself.
Yes.
But
of course,
I think there's a lot of people you'll come to an understanding with people, and you'll realize who's willing to make steps to be a better person and who doesn't care.
Yeah.
And exactly. And that's all there is to it. Speaking of good people, I wanted to thank our newest Beelzebub, Kevin Corpy.
Oh my God, Kevin.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you. Have been blessed.
That was a very nice surprise. And we, remember we promised we'd get all those feelies out in the mail, which are the shirts and pins, last week. It still hasn't happened.
No.
I don't know what happened.
I know what happened.
What happened?
Do you want me to speak on it?
Yeah, why don't you speak on it, Amy?
Because all the merch lives in this house.
Yeah.
I'm just tired all the time. I think I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I think the weight of the world is on my shoulders. I know that's not correct.
No, it's okay.
It's hard. It's hard to get that will up to do the things. Like when Kelly and Andy would come to the house to record the show, and then we would talk about things, you guys would motivate me. Yeah. Now I just got dumb old Freddie be like, we got to get that shirt out. And I'm like, I want to lay on the couch.
So we can blame Freddie for that. Freddie, it's your fault.
I'm not motivating her enough. I was going to try using the new pizza peel to get her off the couch that I had, and but I didn't put enough flour down. I was just going to peel her off with it.
No, he was going to smack me.
But she was stuck too much, I had to start over with a whole new ball of dough.
I got a therapy appointment next week. It's going to be fine.
So you talk to your therapist about the shirts and pins.
Okay, yeah, I totally will.
Hey, I forgot these things I was supposed to mail out 3 weeks ago, and I promised my husband.
Well, there's still a pandemic raging out there, and I would hope our listeners would understand.
They do. They're very cool. They're good people.
The virus didn't go away, guys.
They are good people.
Unlike somebody. Listen,
I've seen the communities for a few other podcasts, and I have to say, I mean, I've been deeply entrenched in a couple of those communities. We have the absolute best community, and we have the best listeners, and like they are made up of the most like normal. When I say normal, I don't mean like you're boring. I mean like the most kind, understanding people who are not absolute psychopaths compared to other fandoms and listenerships. So I'm very appreciative of our listeners and our community, because you guys are awesome.
Yes.
You really are.
There's very some true. Nutballs out there.
Well, like I said, our last meetup on Thursday, like we've been doing this weekly during the kind of lockdown, quarantine, stay in your house kind of time. And after, you know, I get tired and I don't want to do it, but I know we have to, because at the end of that session, I'm so grateful for the time.
Right.
We spend with each other.
Turns your frown upside down.
It does.
As a great man once said. I don't know if a great man said that. For all I know, that's a quote from Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
God, I hope
that was one of his favorite phrases.
He was like, "I turn your frown upside down, Shilly Panzer. Shilly Panzer."
Yeah.
Is that from the Hitler quote of the day calendar?
Yeah. Inspirational. Hitler quotes.
It's got a little quote.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. I couldn't think of what else to get you for Christmas.
Speaking of Nazis, if you guys get a chance, watch Das Boot on Hulu. It's fantastic.
Not the movie, the TV show.
The TV series. The movie is also fantastic, but the TV series, Lizzie Kaplan, just an awesome cast all around. German, French actors, American actors. And it's just a really cool espionage and war story, and it deals with all kinds of interesting topics. But it's also super exciting and tense. It's so tense.
Those are all the things you want.
Yeah.
I'm a teepee. I'm a wigwam.
Yeah. Should we move on then?
You're too tense.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, I want to wish our president a happy belated birthday.
And to get the fuck out of here with that shit.
I hope it's your last.
Oh,
yeah, baby.
You see the way he lifts a water glass and shuffles?
And his ass. No, I've seen like a meme going around where they think it's indicative of degenerative brain disease.
Yeah. But
so that as I hate him, that sentence was very sad.
That's a cop out for the way he's been his entire motherfucking life.
Yeah, he didn't have that when the 80s, where he was, you know, not renting out to black people.
When he raped Ivana.
Yeah. You mean when he was a cartoon person for his whole life and no one could seem to see that?
Yeah.
Remember when he was on Cheers?
Fuck Trump.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him.
And Kirstie Alley was like slobbering over him.
I'll start believing in God and hell only so he goes there.
I wonder if that's how that works.
Well, I'm gonna work on it.
She needs a sign, ain't Freddie?
He is absolutely the worst.
She needs proof. Yeah,
I want him struck by lightning.
I almost hate talking about him, to be honest.
I know.
Just because I don't like thinking about
him. The boogeyman.
I feel the same way. I really don't watch videos of him anymore. I can't.
It makes my body ache.
It makes my stomach churn.
I have like a spot down here. I think he's giving me cancer. I'm not 100% sure.
No. It's the windmills.
Or the lifestyle that I have. It could be any of those
towers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the 5G.
He's God. Let's stop.
Take some hydroxychloroquine and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Let's talk about horror movies, okay?
There.
Yeah.
Bologna sandwiches, okay?
Drink bleach, bitch.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Go ahead. That's more than you want.
Why are you here?
I got a text.
Me too.
Is this recording?
What do we have here?
Is there something you want to confess?
It has been several lifetimes of debauchery since my last confession.
I barely even knew Amelia.
I don't know what else I can tell you.
I shouldn't be here.
Is there something you want to confess? Is there something you want to confess? There's something you want to
I mean, this is all confidential, right?
I still don't know what happened that night.
You just seemed scared. You kept secrets.
It's like you wanted to hurt me.
How many of us went to her with our most shameful secrets?
But sometimes secrets aren't meant to be kept.
You think I killed her in a jealous rage or something?
We were his friends. We were supposed to be the people he could trust.
Is there something you want to confess?
Is there something you want to confess? Floaters.
I have something I'd like to confess.
Grab a life jacket. That's
this
what that reminded
movie
was, me of.
Was.
Yeah.
It reminded you of what? Grab.
Oh, the Big Brother confessional.
Oh, yeah. Floater, grab your life jackets.
Yeah.
This movie was dumb.
Yeah.
Then dumb. And then just to really drive it home, dumb one more time.
Oh.
Now, what's frustrating about this, it is a lot of dumb.
Young, dumb, and full of dumb?
It was dumb and dumber. And dumberer. Whatever the
did it star Jeffrey Dahmer?
If only it. This movie is called Set Up. This is so stupid. I'm gonna spoil it. It is absolutely not a recommend. But I'm not even gonna synopsize the whole thing because it's just so stupid and pointless. But. You start off with this film student making confessions on her. She's doing some kind of video project. And apparently she gets all these people in to confess something horrible or unbelievably like deep and dark to her. And for some reason, all these people do. And now she has all this video of them doing that. And then somehow something happens to her and they all get summoned to this room in the psych building, which is what you were seeing in the trailer, that booth. And, no one knows who called them, but it's about this person, the film student, and they all were people who were involved with her project. And now these texts and things telling them they have to confess. They don't even know what they're fucking supposed to confess. It's a stupid gimmick. They keep 99% of the movie in this booth. And I guarantee that it's like they're trying to capitalize right now on this sort of a name for it now, and I can't think of what it is, but movies are sort of from the POV of like social media or a video. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very Black Mirror.
Yeah, but it's not. It wants to be, maybe.
That style is almost like a, what do they call it? Like Dracula, how that's written in a...
Epistolary.
Epistolary. Thank you.
It's like that, but not. And, it is, but it's just this, they keep everything there. And here's the thing. They do a few flashbacks, but it's like, they want to keep this gimmick. They want to stay really true to their gimmick of this is all happening and being taped and you're watching what's going on in this booth. Right. But then like two or three times or, you know, a few times, there are these very small flashbacks. What's, are you hearing me okay?
You being bonged.
Well, I'm sorry. Anyway, so the gimmick, they really try to keep this gimmick except for these few short times where they show like flashbacks. If you're going to use flashbacks at all, you should use them a lot more to show what was happening. Instead, you're reading texts. You're watching these people in this booth tell the story. And it's just really not interesting. And that's just like on the bottom level of why this movie sucks. There is this convoluted like plot about the mystery of who is making this happen and why. And I'm not trying to insult people. When I say I hated their faces, I don't mean I hated their faces, like the actors' faces. I hated the faces they made while acting.
I get you.
They all were, not all of them, but there were, I think, two or three people who were like, fine. But the majority of people who you spend the most time with were just like overfacing. They were just making
too much face.
Too much face.
Kind of like Gatlinburg sideshow performers, like the kind that you're on the billboards as you go down. We always say they're pulling a lot of faces.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like hee-haw.
Like carnival barkers. Or yeah. Hee-haw, yes.
Yeah.
And that was really bad. The guy who you saw at the beginning of the trailer, well, listeners didn't see it unless they go watch it. But that guy is awful and a horrible actor, and his performance is horrible. He's probably an okay person in real life.
We don't know. Nobody really knows.
I can't even comment on his face or acting in other movies. But in this movie, he was truly awful, and not because his character, but also the acting was awful. So there's okay. This whole thing. They've got all these people. They're trying to fucking figure out why she's dead, whatever. And they're all loosely tied together, and it's just really, really silly. There is a plot. One of them is the one in charge. And the thing that was really frustrating, they introduced this idea partway through where one of the characters, and you're like, why is she all beat up? And you think it's like a domestic abuse kind of situation or something. And the one interesting idea is that there's this club of like college guys and college girls who, it's like a fight club, but it is for guys to fight girls.
Okay. Oh. There he is.
Voluntary.
Yeah.
Completely voluntary. Like the girls are all in consent of this. They want to do this. And I thought this was maybe going to become like an interesting exploration and, you know, violence towards women. But then they just kind of toss it away. It's like not Rogers is involved in it. And you get the hint that this is like this weird, big secret thing. But it's like such a throwaway. It's like, to me, it was like the most interesting concept that they could have. It was like this movie accidentally in concept and then just like threw it in the garbage almost immediately. And so that just kind of drops off, and, there's just a lot of like super basic, like, oh, you know, I was afraid people would find out, and it's just bullshit. Don't watch this movie.
Where does the horror come in? What are the consequences for these people?
There aren't any really.
So like, what happens if they don't confess or don't tell the truth? Did anything happen to them?
Okay, so yes. So the odious guy, right? And he's so fucking obvious. Again, I'm not saying that there are no disgusting dudes who would do this. But so he's in this situation where someone is clearly trying to manipulate him. They are in power. And sudden, there's like a little door appears in the wall. And he hears like a lady voice on the other side, a woman's voice. And it doesn't even sound, it almost sounds like a fake woman's voice. It's like, do you want me to suck your dick? I mean, that's not the dialogue, but that's basically what the voice is saying. If you stick your dick through, I'm going to suck it. Now, I like having my dick sucked a lot. Okay. But
these are a few of his favorite things.
But if I'm in a situation where I've been tricked into this booth and it's very dangerous and I don't know what's going to happen, and then someone's like, hey, stick your dick through this hole.
Yeah.
Something good's going to happen, I promise. As much as I love getting my dick sucked, I'm going to be like, hard pass.
So you look because at this as like a Willy in the dick sucking factory situation?
Yeah, not in this. This is not the time to just be sticking your dick willy nilly through holes.
Right. There's an Oompa Loompa on the other side.
Yeah.
And he's going to Augustus Gloop you.
That would have been his best case scenario.
Yeah.
But this dude is such a poon hound anyway, he's not really, but he tries very hard to make people think he is. So this woman, first he says like, oh, I don't trust that. And she's like, well, stick something else through. So he sticks his thumb through.
He sticks his thumb through. Gift card.
She starts sucking on it. So he's like, oh, okay, this must be safe. And then he sticks his dick through. And then, of course, she puts this trap thing around his dick that's like, if you move or if I do a thing, it's going to fucking tear your dick off.
If your dick goes under 50 miles per hour.
And it's like, of course she was going to do that. How dumb do you have to be? No one is that dumb. Maybe someone is that dumb, but it's not believably dumb. So he does it.
And he raised his hand.
He gets his dick.
I don't know. I do like getting my dick off.
Like, so I guess that's his. I mean, on the one hand, I really don't like getting my dick chopped off. But like on the other hand, I do really like getting it sucked.
I'm so glad I'm a woman.
Yeah, that you don't have to stick anything through anything.
Yeah.
We wouldn't anyway.
Our lives are deciding. Our lives are 90% deciding what holes to stick our stuff into and which ones to not stick our stuff into.
Yes.
So that's I can't even walk by Swiss cheese without getting hard.
Right.
I at least think about it. But so that's probably the biggest or something else, but I don't remember it. It's just dumb. Don't watch it. I mean, feel free to watch it. I'm not telling you what to do with your life, but it's really weak and gimmicky. The acting, again, there were like a couple actors who I thought, oh, maybe in something else I'd like them. The one of the main actors who plays, I don't know what her character's name is, Claire, I think. She was pretty good. I could see her being good in something else. There's a guy, he's got tape on his nose. He's pretty good. Everybody
I love
else
the is, guy. That guy has tape on his nose.
He's great, right?
He's my favorite.
He's so good.
He's very typecast, though.
He is. He's always either a boxer or a guy who has tape on his nose for another reason.
Yeah. It's one of the two. He is okay. Everybody else is just absolutely at the bottom of their game. And I'd like them all to try over. Anyway, that's all I really have to say about this. It's just
you know what? That's disappointing movie. Because the trailer looked kind of intriguing, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are trailers for you.
I mean, feel free to watch it.
No, I'm going to stick my dick in a hole.
It comes to the same. You're going to feel like you got your dick chopped off if you watch this.
You're going to feel like your dick got chopped off. We guarantee it.
If you don't have a dick, you're going to know what it feels like to have your dick chopped off if you watch this.
Oh, well, that's kind
of
intriguing.
You're going to be like, oh, awesome. Now I can say I know what that's like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, give that a go, Amy.
On it. Watching it right now.
Yeah.
All right. So not a recommend.
There's that. If you do watch it and you want to talk about it, do it.
You think anyone's ever going to make a glory hole based video game?
Absolutely.
Like with a VR headset where you're like, it's called like, don't get your dick chopped off.
Don't.
I can almost guarantee that it probably exists. There are a lot of POV porn games.
This one would have a little more of a danger vibe to it though.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like, oh, wah, wah, wah. Your dick got chopped off. You died.
All right. Well, I have.
It could go either way.
This Jack in the Box here.
Yeah, you do.
Can I stick my dick in it?
You can try.
No! You gotta crank it!
It's got a lot of moving parts, Andy.
We're gonna start with Andy! Crankity, crankity, crank, 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 crank. You're safe.
Yay, my dick is safe.
My turn!
Oh,
dear. Oh, dear. It popped out.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Dean.
Oh, Dean.
Oh, Dean. All right. So what we're going to be watching, or what I'm going to be watching and reviewing for next show, is a movie called Sweetheart. It's on Netflix. It was recommended to me by our friends Fozzie Bear and Big Tall Charlie.
Oh, you got a double recommend.
I got a double. A woman shipwrecked on a remote island discovers she's not alone and begins a fight for survival against a deadly presence that emerges each night.
Emerges or merges?
Emerges.
Okay.
You know, you're almost alone on an island because there's always a wildlife and stuff. Mm-hmm. Almost. I'm sure there are some where there aren't.
So I will be reviewing Sweetheart. If you want to play along, it's on Netflix.
All right.
I just love when they say that. She's not alone.
There's probably like a mosquito or three.
I mean, at least.
You are not alone.
Plus, there's those footprints in the sand.
Always.
Yeah. That's
Jesus. Always Jesus.
Yeah. Jesus.
But what a nice title, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
And then there was one additional just pair of footprints, but they're really far apart. And Jesus said that's when we were in a three-legged sack race.
And then there's those really big ones, and they're like, is that Sasquatch? And you're like, I don't know.
That's when Sasquatch was carrying Jesus and you. There was just like a totem pole type of situation going on.
All right. Enough of that. The main attraction.
Are you ready, Mr. Lockhart?
This trend of
slowing down songs,
it's hilarious. Like, that cracked me up in a way that that was the best part of the movie, and that it was just so silly.
It is. I agree that the trend, just the whole, it cracks me up that it's become such a cliche to do that.
Yeah.
That, and it's, I can't even remember. There's songs that just shouldn't be slowed down ever, you know.
We're going to slow down monster movies with my friends at the end of the show.
Okay.
We should
do that.
Monster movies with my friends. Pop that coochie pop.
It just is like, it's such a like obvious gimmicky thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to get a Nordic sounding woman to sing and juxtapose a very upbeat song really slow and in a minor key to make it soups, dupes, spooks.
You know who we can blame for this?
Zack Snyder.
What?
Are you going to say Zack Snyder?
No. I was going to say Donnie Darko when they did Mad World. And it was such
a They didn't slow that down, did they? It was just a cover.
No.
It's slower. It's definitely a slower tempo. Yeah. But anyway, I didn't mean, I just thought that was the first thing I wanted to say about this movie because I hated it.
I hated it too.
It's funny.
We're all in agreement, right?
No, Freddie loved it.
I didn't love it. I really liked it. But it,
no, you didn't.
But I feel they blew it. It was one of those movies that
there's a movie somewhere in here. But
it's
you have to.
But nothing happens.
Yeah. No, that's I feel what you're saying. There is a movie in there. And I get I thought you might like this. I get why I think you like this.
Yeah.
But that's what makes me mad is when I can see not you being liking it, when I can see the movie that could have been.
Oh yeah. Well, to me, I liked it better. Yeah.
When it was called The Ring.
I would have rather watched The Ring.
I don't see the resemblance to The Ring other than the look.
That's the feeling of the mystery. It was like I don't know. It was just very ringish to me.
See, to me, this reminded me of the older, like, Universal and Hammer style horror movies.
What?
Huh?
It's very reminiscent of Dracula, and I'll tell you, you have this character, Lockhart, who works for this big finance firm. His predecessor dies of a heart attack from overworking himself.
He's the Harker. I get that reference. You know,
He's called away to find this very much like a Renfield type of character who was this member of the board of this big company he worked for who had gone to this spa in Switzerland because he was stressed out, I guess.
Oh my God, that was the mayor from Buffy. Yeah,
the mayor from Buffy.
Ah!
And that's where I got real excited and I'm like, okay, I'm on board. I'm loving this in the beginning.
And then five hours later, when he arrives,
yeah, definitely over long.
Too long.
Almost so by long. Probably 45 minutes.
At least.
But it had enough going for it for me to still really like it and maybe even revisit it, honestly. But I'm a big Gore Verbinski fan. That's the thing is that I'm looking for some things I think that other people maybe don't give a shit about, which is understandable.
Well, I also am a big Gore Verbinski fan. And when I started this, I was also all in. Me and Elise both really liked it for a while.
Yeah.
And now Colin was out almost immediately. He sat down and watched it and he was the harbinger. He was like, this dialogue is shitty and stupid and everyone's delivering it in weird ways and it's dumb. And he kind of just took off. So I hear what you're saying. And in fact, after watching it, we went back and I said, they should have I agree. Like he was doing the Jonathan Harker. Sort of Heart of Darkness Apocalypse Now.
Same, yeah.
Where it's like, if they'd have just gone in that direction and kind of... They just... Everything happened and nothing happened. And
right.
I feel like sort of the whole... The CEO of the business, like... I'm not saying we needed to find out what happened or why, but they kind of kept bringing in... the business people in this whole, you have to bring him back. He has to answer, but he didn't. I mean, really, he didn't have to come back unless it was for a legal reason. So,
well, the reason he was going to be a scapegoat,
the way it was. Oh no, I get kind of making it sound like, well, he has to come back one way or the other.
Yeah.
And sort of making this kid go do this as, you know, because they've got him by the balls too.
Right. And it's just for the listener, like the reasoning is they were doing things that were illegal and really it was Lockhart who had engineered a lot of these things that were dragging in all these profits for this company. And they're like,
Roy Lockhart.
What's that? Oh, by the way, did you notice
Roy Lockhart?
Whoa, that was really creepy, Kelly, the way your voice processed just now. But Lockhart had done all these kind of shady things and they're like, hey, look, you either go get this guy or, you know, that we can pin it on him because he's a boss and be like, you know, this all happened under his watch. He's the sacrificial lamb, so the rest of the board is protected. And Lockhart is like the golden child go-getter, but he's also possibly the other scapegoat if he can't bring him back.
Okay. Yeah.
And to be honest, I like an actor. His performance.
Oh, you mean Dane, that the lead?
Yeah.
Yeah. He reminds me a little bit of DiCaprio.
Yeah, he reminded me of both Leonardo DiCaprio and who was the other person I kept saying?
Maybe Freddie Highmore at all?
No.
Didn't get that.
What's that guy?
His name is Dane DeHaan.
Dane DeHaan.
Dane DeHaan. Dane DeHaan. Ding dong, the bing bang, the ding dang.
The ding dang.
There's just got to be a certain point.
Kelly, when you hear this playback, you went full Believe by Cher just then.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Kelly tossed his hair too. He was like, oh.
Let me say again, I was with this movie for a while, and then I realized that they had a bunch of ideas.
Yes.
And they're trying to tie them all together. And
they weren't really. They weren't doing a very good job of tying them together. That's the problem.
No, they did a bad job. And then I think, and I'll get to this, I think that their central mystery, and we'll synopsize this, listener, don't worry, but just to the crew who's watched it, the central mystery of the Baron and his wife / daughter, that's a spooky story. And I think you can make a movie around that. But what they were trying to do, I don't think that was enough of a base,
right,
to create this whole thing about like this plot with rich people. And I'm just going to give my 30-second synopsis of what I saw.
Sure.
Guy gets sent to spa in Switzerland to bring boss back, who's there, who just keeps saying he's weird, and he gets there, everyone's acting strangely, he gets in an accident, gets brought back, he gets to be a patient while he waits for his boss supposedly to get well enough to leave. Eels, water, ghost eels, weird girl, more eels, and then torture that's not unsettling at all. Incest, the end.
Yep. That's a valid synopsis. And see, I feel like part of the problem was, like, again, this comes back to what you were saying about it, Kelly. In the beginning, you think maybe this is a ghost story because they're talking about this estate having been burned to the ground, what, a couple hundred years prior, or something like that. And and when he first sees Hannah, played by Mia Goth, right? He sees her standing, no eyebrows, right? Yeah, standing on one of the parapets, is that what those are called?
Sure.
And and she's ghostly. For all you know, that's a ghost, right? The kind of mysterious way they introduced that character.
I was still on board at this point.
Is that his POV of her, or was that just a creepy shot?
What do you? It was
seeing her up there.
Supposed to be from the car, as far as I could tell.
But it was just so the way it was shot. Everything was shot in a weird way, from like the angle of it and the look of it. So I didn't know if it was like a vision or what he was seeing.
No, he was really seeing her. It wasn't like an hallucination because the driver says to him, "Pretty girl." So I think they even put that line in there because they thought the audience would have that impression like you did.
Yeah, but that was the problem of it. Like, he didn't know when to hold back at all.
The director for Benson?
There was no time for the movie to breathe at all, even though it was 2.5 hours long.
Even though it just breathed and breathed.
It felt like two or three movies stitched together, honestly.
It did.
Yeah.
It just felt very amateurish for such a seasoned director to me.
The directing for me was okay. It was the writing that really bugged me, because again, I feel like there were so many things where they were just like, oh, it'd be so creepy to have like the patients too. And they dance around and they're going to have a ball and they all wear white and they're like,
yeah.
Well, that was the problem too.
It was all style.
Cool, so make sure we do that.
Yeah. If everybody's creepy, then nobody's creepy. You know what I mean?
yeah.
Because then, it's so forced. The creepy, like even the people in the boardroom at the company he was working at, even they spoke in this weird, like creepy, talked in riddles. Everybody talked in riddles in this movie.
It was sort of cartoony.
You mean like Big Black Dick? Is that a riddle? What was the meaning of that riddle?
That was quite a line. The people in the boardroom, I kind of get they were trying to do like a cartoony, like they're villains, and I got that, but it still didn't work for me. But whatever.
But you need a character that's somewhat grounded to relate to.
Yeah.
But if everybody's creepy, then there's nobody to really drive your story.
Yeah, and I feel like he was taking a page from the director of RoboCop, Total Recall. Paul Verhoeven. Like in that boardroom scene, that was very like OCP to me. Like it reminded me of those same moments where they're very much like generic, almost 1980s style business people. Sorry about that ding. So I liked all those moments. They all worked for me. And I think like they worked for me the way maybe he wanted them to, but it started to fall apart in the middle because again, he had this, this very big Hammer horror style villain character, but you didn't know that's what he was until the third act. It was almost a reveal that he was the Vollmer character played by Lucius Malfoy from Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I knew pretty early on that he was the Baron.
Right.
And that was another thing. I felt like they were trying to like build a mystery of that, but that they also gave it away way too soon because they just kept talking about the story of the Baron and giving you like these bits that obviously correspond to that guy and that girl. So like very early on,
I was disappointed. Yeah. That wasn't a red. I thought that was going to be a red herring.
I did too.
And that
because
for me would have worked.
Weirdly blatant.
Right. Wouldn't that have worked better than them really being those characters for that to have been a red herring and it really to be more about this experimentation they were doing and not so much about him wanting to procreate and continue his line with his own daughter. You know, that was just, it was like putting like ganache on top of it. Like it was just too much on top of everything else.
You nailed it. And that's what I was saying about the story of the Baron not being big enough to end up supporting what they wanted it to be.
Right.
And so either that should have been like you said, sort of a weird ghost story. Cause then you get into the meat of the movie and you movie get meat. All these weird, like steampunky, old timey medical devices. Yeah. Tanks and deprivation shit and it all kind of comes to nothing and you're just like, why are these people even here? Like we never even find out what got
Kelly
his boss there.
You get all distorted.
Yes.
You mean what their motivation for actually going to visit this place was? Or
you never really find out. He just keeps saying, I'm very sick. Well, when did you think you were sick? How did you get in contact with this place? How did they get you there? How did you not catch on to all this other shit since your buddy is? Like, I felt like there was, and I don't need everything explained out to me, but I need some little tidbits to, again, sort of be that connective tissue that supports this absolutely outrageous narrative. And then there's eels.
Yeah, why the eels?
Well, the eels
didn't need the eels.
The eels, I get why.
Because they're creepy looking?
No, well, the eels, the idea is there are these eels that exist in Europe that they live like 80 years or something, but they took some artistic license, right? And they said these eels, they don't know how long they really live.
They got the special aquifer.
It's hundreds of years,
of water,
maybe thousands of years. Well, that's what he kind of figured out was probably it's the water, and that's why they wanted to consume And they have this.
Well, they say it outright. He says that the water makes them live 300 years when normally their lifespan is shorter.
Right. Yeah. But again, that's what I'm saying is like you're still taking it from that kind of unreliable narrator, though, of the Baron character, who we don't know is the Baron yet.
Right.
When livestock eat them, they get sick and die. And they show that when the cow scene where he cuts open the cow and all the eels are in it. And
so many eels.
Yeah. But I think that it's very much like, it reminded me of The Matrix in some ways, where he figures out that if people eat them and digest them, they can use them as a filter to take all the bad stuff out. And that's the whole motivation for this whole operation is to use people as filters.
When did that become clear? Because I wasn't sure, and I swear to God, I paid attention.
It became clear when I read the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't? But when he explained it to him, you didn't get that?
No.
It was at the end where he did his Bond villain speech, where he just laid it all out.
Yeah, because he puts them in that hyperbaric chamber, and he's like, see, we have to put these eels in use so that we can use the diluted version, which we carry around these little vials, and that makes us live forever.
Well, okay, good for you that you figured that out, but I was...
it was very convoluted.
Yeah, it was very convoluted.
No, it's super convoluted.
But and it was like, how did they figure this out in the first place?
Well, that's because they just kept saying, to explain that, Andy, they just kept saying, the Baron did experiments on people. Okay, great. So what does that mean? What, he's an alchemist? Is he? What is he? I feel like, I understand...
No, but it was like they just needed something more creepy, so they added eels in, because eels are creepy.
That's what I was just about to say.
Oh, why couldn't it have just been the water or something? Why couldn't it have just been something else?
It could have just been the water,
or the other.
You didn't need the eels, but...
or the water. Pick one or the other. Either make it eels... Or make it the water.
You get one!
It was too... But even so, like, when you think about it again, it's... Like you're saying, there's these elements. You almost think you're going to get that ghost story, but it's really just there's the same people, and they've been alive that whole time because they've been doing this filtered water thing. And
right,
it's just a hodgepodge. It feels like two or three movies.
Are the people in the tanks shitting into the water? So confused.
It's coming out of, I don't know which part of their body. I assume it's your urethra that they're getting. They're tapping the urethras of all these people with catheters, probably. I guess it's a big catheter. They lube it up and they put it in your pee-pee.
Yeah, maybe. But also, why does she have her period in the pool when the eels come out?
Oh, because she started aging again a little bit. Like, she hadn't become a woman yet, because she was there with the eels themselves and not the concentrated version. That's the way I understood it.
You made
it was done just for the visual. We're like, oh my God, it's like, you know, we're pushing the envelope. It's incest, and all of a sudden she's having her period.
That's what I mean.
He'd been waiting. The Baron had just been waiting for her to become a woman so he could have a baby with her.
But I think what Andy's saying and what Kelly is saying and what I am saying is they went for that stylistic moment.
Oh, of course.
It looked cool, but I was like, uh-huh.
She left the party with a sweater tied around her waist.
In that moment actually made me realize, like, this movie is all style over substance. And it was boring. But I'm not saying style over substance is a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes it really works for me.
One of my favorite movies is Pacific Rim. That's just a bunch of fucking monsters, robots fighting.
Such a fun movie.
Nothing else. And that's all style over substance. But this was snooze fest.
Yeah, this movie.
Most of the Rob Zombie stuff, all of the Rob Zombie stuff is style over substance, but I like most of it.
Yeah. Again, I like this movie quite a bit, even though, but
good,
you know what
you
it
made
is?
Me buy it.
It's one of the, I did. One of those things, sight unseen though, had I probably wouldn't. I bought it thinking that people might want to watch it who are in our family, but
No,
it's not for them. This is,
it's not for you, Jen.
No,
this has good bones.
This could have been
a great throwback to the bigger budgeted Hammer and Universal movies that they did, the classic horror stuff, but they bloated it out way too much.
Every single scene went on too long. Mm-hmm.
You know and what movie I thought did this? Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead. And there were elements that
I thought you were done.
That went nowhere.
No.
Like that stuff with his the main character's dad and his mom.
Yeah.
I felt that went nowhere.
It didn't go anywhere.
It was just that classic, you have to give somebody demons so that they can confront them as part of the motivation to manipulate them and everything. And nothing felt organic the way, after you got out of the first act, nothing felt organic anymore.
No, and I felt like even him continually remembering his dad's suicide, it never felt like it reached him. Like it never felt like he was having like this moment, or you know, it just was kind of like he remembered it and then he was sort of like
I'm not sure if we lost some of what you said, Kelly, or if you just
I said yeah.
So I do think that was to make him vulnerable to the manipulation, to be, you know, so that he would fall into this taking a treatment. He had to have that trauma to begin with. I'm not saying it worked it was done correctly. I'm just saying I think from a storyteller standpoint, I think the writer just felt like they had to have that thing in there for the doctor to try to fix.
And I totally get that. Again, he just did buy it enough to me for that to be a real lever. If he had shown more emotion over it, or anything, yeah, you know, then that would have, you know, made more sense as a lever, but it just didn't seem to impact him at all.
Well, nothing did. He was a super cold character. In fact, everyone involved in that company were the coldest MFers. Pardon my French.
My goodness.
But like they, there were no warm, the only character who had any warmth, I think, I mean, well, Hannah kind of did just because she's kind of a kid and, you know, vulnerable by default. But like Victoria, the older lady, that character had a lot of warmth and her two, ladies who lunch with her.
But even her, she was like, oh, I'm going to talk about puzzles all the time.
Yeah.
That's my little quirk.
Yeah.
That's what makes me weird. And like everybody was weird. So I didn't have anybody to relate to.
I didn't feel she was super weird at first. I think she got worse throughout. I mean, she
rich
had a little bit of
people are weird. Rich people are weird.
They're different. Well,
I also thought just with her, I felt like her death was supposed to be, again, affecting. And it just never hit me the way I think they intended it to hit me, because she'd never been enough of a character. She was just, like Andy said, just sort of a bundle of quirks and a ghost story.
Yeah. Had they had more human moments in that first act, and instead of spending time retreading the Baron's story over and over again, and the, although I did like the trip into town, because that was very much the old school again, like the villagers who are afraid of the castle on the hill thing, which I'm a sucker for tropes from classic horror. And but the problem is those are great moments, but there could have been other moments where he began to socialize with other patients and develop some sort of real relationship with them, instead of him always being, he was isolated throughout the whole film, so he never really had any ally characters at all.
No.
But and even actually, when they went, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good.
No, like, even when they went to town, even all the villagers were acting weird. So it felt
everybody
very claustrophobic.
Well, I felt they were acting weird because they knew he came from the hospital.
They were a bunch of like weird 80s.
They felt like, 80s.
Like 80s punk.
It reminded me, it was very similar for me to the whole American Werewolf in London tavern scene, yeah, where, you know, they're clearly the outsiders coming in and these people have their own thing going on and they don't even want you in there, and obviously an American Werewolf did it much better. But but again, that's a trope that I love, but that could have been a great moment for him to have snuck out some of the other patients just as a playful thing to go into the town earlier, maybe to get us on his side a little more and maybe make them more sympathetic and see them having fun or something, you know, to make it feel like there was an impact later.
I mean, they try to do that with Hannah because she kind of blossomed into a woman. She found the lipstick and started dancing, but everything just went on way too long. I didn't have to see her twirl around for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. And yeah, that scene again, what you're saying is correct. Like, I enjoy those tropes too, when they're held within a story that, like, and that brings me also to the other thing, the torture moments are the moments that are supposed to be really, like, physically unsettling. They didn't do anything for me because I felt like there were no stakes. Like when they drill into his tooth, I feel a better movie, I would have been like really like,
and that made my toes curl, just because that could have been an isolated thing outside of this movie and it still would have made my toes curl because I don't like teeth stuff.
Normally I would say that. No, I hear you. And I mean, certainly I was just like, but I feel like in the hands, in a movie where I cared for the characters in a more connected way, that would have been much more horrible. Same with now I will say the scene that unsettled me more than that, the when they put the tube down his throat and then dump the eels down in him.
Yeah.
To me, that was a little unsettling. But again, it should have been way more unsettling. And also because you've seen the eels 500 fucking times by now, they were no longer scary to me. And also they never seemed to hurt anybody until the very end. Suddenly they eat people, but they were swimming around other people just fine without eating them. But at the end, fucking, we're going to eat the Baron though.
Yeah.
It's just,
it's because the Baron was partially cooked. Yeah.
This is my problem.
He had crispy skin.
I think with some of, sorry, listeners, I made a pulling my face off gesture to the camera because the crew can see me, but you can't. And he's all burnt up under his skin. The Baron is. So it's just, what was I saying about the fucking eels?
Yeah, that they didn't eat people and then they did.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. But anyway, it's just...
I remember.
I feel like sometimes these filmmakers will make a movie and they'll try and like say, well, I was trying to make a fable or I was trying to make like a fairy tale. So like I wasn't trying. It was more of an impressionistic thing. And that's fine. Sometimes that works.
I don't like it.
But I like it when it's done with skill. I feel like a lot of people use it as an to have more loose storytelling. So they'll do that. And then am I sounding like a robot? Is anything I'm saying coming through? Yeah,
let me tell you what's happening.
We do hear you.
What's amazing is somehow it has both at points slowed your voice down and other times I think it sped your voice up. And then
it's like the data transfer. It probably is doing that.
And then it also changed the pitch of your voice, like the auto-tune on Believe by Cher. It's done so many things, and also at one point your video froze where you look like a Rick and Morty character in your mouth. Oh. You know when they draw the characters with the lips that are like hanging off their faces? You were making a face like that, and it was really funny too. A lot of funny things have happened.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I'm sure Kelly said a lot of great things.
Oh, so insightful.
I didn't hear a word of it.
Yeah. No, we got most of what you said. Don't listen.
Well, anyway.
We're joking.
I feel like this movie had maybe a good movie somewhere inside of it,
deep inside.
But an eel ate it and pissed it out.
That's what this movie needs to do. And they need to take the movie and filter it through someone.
There you go.
And draw it out of their pee-pee and then give us the movie that doesn't have all the toxins in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really disappointed. I really wanted to like it.
Yeah. I still kind of recommend it, but I only recommend it for people who are really into the aesthetic of the Castle on the Hill, old, you know, that old kind of storytelling. But again, it is super bloated. So relax and, you know, be ready to sit down for 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
I think a movie that did this much, did what they wanted to do with this better was Midsummer. I think Midsummer really created that, this mysterious place in Europe where these people are that don't know what's going on, and they build that mystery, I think, much more successfully.
This movie is like if they try to take Midsummer and stitched it together with Shutter Island and make one movie.
That's perfect.
So like if you like Shutter Island's a much better version of the half of this movie that is that. And Midsummer is a much better version of the half of the movie that is the other thing.
So there you go.
So watch those two.
Watch half of Shutter Island and then watch half of Midsommar.
But if you've already watched those things and you're like, I've already watched Midsommar three times and Shutter Island three times.
Life is short, so don't watch this.
Yeah, well, or you want something that has a lot of those elements is just not as good. A Cure for Wellness. And you have a lot of time on your hands.
If you love the mayor from Buffy and you want to see his ass cheeks.
That's true. You can get to see him nude.
I got you covered.
Harry Grainer's a really, I love him. He's actually
for you.
He's a fantastic actor. He's just good. He's good in everything he does.
Great.
I just, you know, just love him.
Anyway, boo.
Yeah. Anything else? Anybody else have anything they want to say about a cure for wellness? Yeah.
We're going to teach cure for wellness how to be fucking brief.
The cure is worse than the disease.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
Now, if I could cure COVID by drinking piss that has been filtered through a human body that has been hanging out with eels, I would do it.
So
we should have done this last week. Normally, the third movie of each theme month is picked by a listener that signed up for our mailing list. We should have done it last week. We forgot. We're going to do it now, and you're not going to have that much time to pick, so just deal with it.
So if you want to join our mailing list, notlp.com, scroll down to UC Dracula on the postage stamp. You sign up there. And number 60 is our winner, and that is Iona Goodwin.
Iona Greatwood!
You will be choosing our final main attraction for our weird science theme.
Middle of night in Australia. No, it might be the morning. Wait, what time is it?
So I'm going to email you.
Yes.
Right now.
She gets to pick. Weird science is the theme.
And that...
Pick weird science if you want to.
Yeah, you could pick weird science. If you want an idea, just Google the weird science trope or weird science genre and you'll find a bunch of examples.
Smart. She'll figure it out.
Yeah, she is. I'm sure she will.
Anyway. So, yeah. Fun. Mm-hmm. So at the end of every show?
Yay!
That was like delayed. It was so funny.
we say hi to our Beelzebubs.
That we do.
/OTLP. These are the people that pay us the big bucks.
Yeah.
These are the people that own us body and soul.
Do you see that?
Sort of. It's good enough. We're going to start with Ernie.
You're a cure for sadness.
Aw. Elise, Mrs. Combrink. She's a cure for...
My cure for horniness.
Yep.
And sadness.
My cure for horniness.
She's a cure for horniness. We got
a prescription for that.
Amanda, you're a cure for animals that have been left abandoned because you take care of them and get them homes. Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora, you're a cure for my sadness in this world because you're great. What is Mark Watts a cure for?
Malaise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He demalaises us.
Yep. This is very true. Then we have Blake. What is
he's
Blake?
A cure for the common cold.
But you need to know something, that he has a birthday coming up. He has a birthday coming up at the end of this week.
Happy birthday, Blake.
Happy birthday, Balake. Happy birthday. Anyway. Then we have Tree and Alex. They're a cure for the common cold. Do you guys believe me?
I thought that was Blake.
Whatever.
We're running out of steam here, guys.
I know. Iona, you better pick a good movie. Don't let me down like
a cure for
wellness.
Us not having a movie chosen.
Yeah. Jeff Lancaster. Andy, what's he a cure for?
Jesus Christ, I'm bad at improv.
He's a cure for Jesus Christ.
He's the cure for Jesus Christ.
Taco Bell?
Yep. Brandon and Emily are a cure for a cloudy day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They're sunshine.
Mm-hmm. We got Adam Ingram. He's a cure for diarrhea.
he'll get you solid again.
Nausea, upset stomach, diarrhea.
You guys aren't helping me. Bill is a cure for my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. But Bill knew that.
Who's next?
Blaine,
the clap, just because I like saying the clap.
Cure for the clap. Good on
Thanks,
you,
Blaine.
Todd DePompa is the cure for not having a nice dinner and a spicy meatball.
Hey, Todd DePompa.
Dennis Kennedy, he's treatment for rheumatoid arthritis.
Because there is no cure.
But don't take Dennis Kennedy if you're allergic to him.
Are there side effects?
And Kevin Corpy.
Our new dude.
If you're pregnant, or expect to be pregnant, or your neighbor's pregnant, or you get a pregnant dog or guinea pig, stay away from Kevin Corpy. Otherwise, partake of Kevin Corpy.
You guys, all our Beelzebubs are a cure for a bankrupt show.
There you go.
That is true.
There you go.
They don't need
all our patrons. What
a mess.
And all of our listeners in general are a cure for us talking into nothingness.
That's true. It makes it like we're talking to people other than ourselves.
We are talking to we're people. You're talking to us.
I like puzzles.
Whatever.
I'm mad.
Okay.
I've gone mad. I got that eel problem.
Too many eels.
We love you.
My hovercraft is full of eels.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed.